Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around.
The Standard Talking Machine Company was an American record label that was created in October 1901 and operated until March 1918. The Chicago, Illinois-based company distributed several models of phonographs from Columbia Graphophone Company parts and issued single-sided and double-sided disc records from Columbia Records Masters. Despite the label name, the discs were not quite standard. The spindle hole in the center of the disc was about 9/16 of an inch, larger than the industry standard. This made discs produced by the other companies, such as Victor and Columbia, unable to be played upon a standard disc phonograph, entrapping the buyer into purchasing only standard disc records. There were three affiliated companies, Harmony Disc, United, and Aretino, all which increasingly larger diameter spindle holes and record spindle holes. Collectors refer to these four related companies today as the Chicago Scheme Companies. Welcome to Dead Wax 78. I'm Sean, and today we're going to talk about the spindle holes from hell. So here is how spindle holes are made and why some records are off-center. Obviously, the original wax was a lacquered master was properly centered. But when the metal parts are made, they do not create a center spindle hole. The stampers are made, and the last step is to find the true center and punch out a hole, which is used to attach the stamper into the press. It is the diameter of this hole which creates a circle in most label areas. This hole is made by putting the stamper on the turntable that has a microscope and an alignment screw, and the turntable is moved by these screws so that the grooves seem to remain stationary as it turns. And then the operator hits a foot switch and the hole is punched. If the job is done in a sloppy fashion, the grooves will be off-center. In manually operated presses, after the stampers are mounted, the top stamper has a spindle. The operator places the bottom label face down in the center of the stamper using the hole as alignment, then places a blob of record material on top of it. The other label is affixed onto the spindle on the top of the stamper, and then the press is closed. If the bottom label has moved or was not properly centered, then it sometimes is possible to see a cross mark where the center of the label was supposed to be. All records came off the presses with a standard spindle hole. Oh yeah, well, we'll see about that. Here's side one. Where did you get those eyes? The Harmonians, 1926 on Harmony.
Where'd you get those smiles so funny? Those chills, those nose, those rosy cheeks. I'm gone, he's gone, for weeks and weeks. How's he grow so sweet? How's he grow so nice? Where'd you get that new blue bonnet with the do-wack-a-doos upon it? Please make me happy and put me wise. Where'd you get that great big eye?
So the Standard Talking Machine Company was apparently a branch of the East Liverpool China Company. It sold discs with the label name Standard and Standard brand talking machines to play them. The discs had a 9/16 inch hole, like I said, and the record players had spindles to match. Both discs and machines were modified Columbia products. These machines came from the Bridgeport factory, as some carrying that information stamp right on them. The first of the marketed by Standard in 1903 were identical to the Columbia AU model with a 7-inch turntable. Later, there was a similar machine with a 10-inch turntable. Now, in 1913, Standard absorbed the Great Northern Manufacturing Company, formalizing a long association. Standard was succeeded by Consolidated Talking Machine Company of Chicago. That firm issued 10-inch records with the Standard label in March 1918. Now, Harmony Disc Records, a Chicago-based U.S. mail-order label that was established in 1907. So Harmony Disc Records could only be played on phonographs with an oversized 9/16 of an inch spindle hole. The phonographs were given away for free as long as the customer bought a certain number of Harmony record discs. All releases were reissues of Columbia recordings. Now, by 1912, the label name was changed to Harmony Record. The company named to Harmony Talking Machine Company, and the address was Dearborn Street in Chicago. In 1916, the label merged with other similar labels to form the Consolidated Talking Machine Company of Chicago. Not to be outdone, United Records operated in the years before World War I. The label was owned by the United Talking Machine Company of Chicago, Illinois, which produced the double-sided lateral cut records with the unusually large spindle hole, just slightly smaller than that of a 45 RPM record that appeared after World War II. And with a wind-up phonograph with large spindles for playing those records. Again, most of the masters from United Records were recorded by Columbia. The name United has been used by other companies, most notably the one that operated in Chicago in the 1950s. One of the several Chicago-based brands made its oversized spindle holes. United was produced between 1909 and 1916 by Columbia for the United Talking Machine Company. Laterally recorded, they avoided patent infringement by only being playable on machines with oversized spindles. In this case, like an inch and a half. To avoid a competition with the same recording on Columbia label, the artist often had to remain anonymous or use a pseudonym. We know about pseudonyms. And in 1916, the companies that marketed various related odd spindle labels, United Talking Machine Company, Harmony Talking Machine Company, the Standard Talking Machine Company, Orentino Company, and the O'Neill James Company, they all merged to form the Consolidated Talking Machine Company of Chicago. This operation was unrelated to Eldridge R. Johnson's earlier Philadelphia-based company of the same name. A Consolidated Talking Machine Company at this time, United Records, Harmony Disc Records, Standard Disc Records, Orentino Records, and Busy Bee Records were discontinued and replaced by a single label, the Consolidated Record. Boy, that makes sense. Here's side two. A Ragtime Jockey Man, Maurice Burkhart, 1912 on United.
Down upon the track, on a horseback, warming up a singer, it's the ragtime jockey, smile upon a face, ready for the race, in his colorful gaze. Feet them spread apart, now they're gonna start. Kindly keep an eye upon the ragtime jockey. Never mind, your cold don't stop the cough. They're off! Come on and go, 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 go. I got a bet upon you, go, 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 go. I'm betting heavy on your pop. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Like I know you can. Come on and run, 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 run. And leave the rest behind you. Run, 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 run. You'll never let them find you. I'll bet a swank on the ragtime jockey man. Someone surely fell. Did I hear you say it was the ragtime jockey? Drawing up your right. See me turning white. All my money is gone. No, it isn't, boss. He's on his horse. He is only kidding all the other jockeys. He's just playing with them like a toy. Good boy. Come on and go, 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 go. I got a bet upon you. Go, 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 go. I'm betting heavy on your pop. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Like I know you can. Come on and run, 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 run. And leave the rest behind you. Run, 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 run. Don't ever let them find you. I'll bet a swag on the ragtime jockey man.
He wins. Go, 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 go.
I got a bet upon you. Go, 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 go. I'm betting heavy on your pop.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Like I know you can.
Come on and run.
Run, run, run,
and leave the rest behind you.
Run, 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 run.
Don't ever let them find you.
Orentino was an American record label, and it was in business from about 1907 to 1914. Orentino was started by Arthur J. O'Neill, and he started many record and phonograph business in the Chicago area. O'Neill named his company in honor of Guido Orentino, an 11th century Italian monk. Orentino is an odd type of record because the hole in the center is very large compared to a normal spindle hole. It is the largest ever for a record that has been made for people to use in their homes. Like many of O'Neill's other companies, Orentino was run as a premium scheme. A phonograph record player was offered for not much money. However, this record player could only play Orentino records because it came with a 3-inch spindle hole. O'Neill also offered adapters for Orentino discs that allowed the discs to be played on record players that had normal spindles, or even a Busy Bee machine, another O'Neill brand which had two spindles instead of one. Aretino did not make any of his own recordings. It borrowed masters from other companies. The first series of Aretino records had music on only one side of the disc. They were each given a catalog number beginning with the letter A. The music was recorded on them by Leeds and Catlin. Leeds and Catlin also made a group of records for Aretino with catalog numbers starting with the letter D. These records have recordings on both sides. They are very hard to find now, and Leeds and Catlin was later shut down by court order for patent infringement. After that, Aretino records were made for a short time by two record companies, our old friends Hawthorne and Schiebel and Zonophone. These companies kept making records which only had music on one side of the record. It was not long after this that Columbia became the maker of these records. No other companies made records for Aretino after Columbia began to make them. They have music on both sides of these ones. Of all Aretino records, these are the most common. Most records from this time period have a diameter of 10 inches. Columbia may have made a group of records for Aretino that are 12 inches in diameter, but these are very hard to find. I've never seen one. Aretino stopped making anything after 1914. The music on Aretino labels was like most music for those years. Some artists on Aretino are Henry Burr, William F. Denny, Byron Harlan, Ada Jones, Bill Murray, Vess Osman, Steve Porter, Cal Stewart, and Burt Williams. They're like on everything, these guys. Here's side three. I Got a Vacant Room for You, Bob Roberts, 1907, Aretino Records. I don't have an Aretino record, so thank you, Internet.
Bar a coon, now tell me true. That tail he has a cozy corner in his heart for you. If that be so, I must have you know he's as stingy as can be. The little flock, what he has got, ain't one, two, three with me. Oh, way down in this heart of mine, I got a big room for you. Just kind of lead your life with me to prove that you'll be true. You needn't worry about room rent, a little loving will do. Away down in this heart of mine, I got a big room for you. She said, now coon, though you've got a room in your heart for little me, if the other rooms are occupied, my room is 23. But he just cried, you come on inside, take a peek around about. There's only one, so grab it on before I rent it out. Cause way down in this heart of mine, I got a vacant room for you. Just kind of leave for life with me to prove that you'll be true. You needn't worry about room rent, a little loving will do. Away down in this heart of mine, I got a vacant room for you. Away down in this heart of mine, I got a vacant room for you. Just find a need for life with me to prove that you'll be true. You needn't worry about room rent, a little loving will do. Away down in this heart of mine, I got a big room for you.
the larger holes for Standard, United, Harmony, and Aretino were drilled out in their individual factories. There actually was a record that had a serrated spindle hole to grip the spindle. This was the Gray Autograph dictating machine record, and yes, it had about 12 projecting fingers to grip around the half-inch spindle. The turntable had no motor, and it was turned by a motor in a Detone arm with a rubber roller that actually rode on the record. This created a constant linear speed. The turntable turned faster as the recording neared the center. Another dictating machine, the Soundscriber, had a square spindle and a square spindle hole. Now, some English Columbias from the 1930s had a polygonal-shaped spindle hole. Don't forget the Little Berliner discs of 1889 that had a 3.2 inch in diameter, which had a keyhole-shaped spindle hole to prevent slippage. A Busy Bee offered a standard size hole and an additional large racetrack hole. Of course, they sold players that fit that record. Oh, the Chicago scheme. Well, as well as the Canadian Berliner Victor discs, and I think some others had a brass grommet around the center hole until about 1904. I think I've seen a few pictures. The players at this time had a nut similar to one on a flashlight, you know, 6-volt battery terminal, but larger, which they would thread down on the spindle and place it and lock it down for playing. Here's side four, Going to Chicago, Al Hibbler with Count Basie, 1953.
You are not. don't mean any evil. You do things you want not to. You got my brand of honey. Guess I'll have to put up with you.
There is a practical solution to play these oddball records. The first involves using a thick piece of lightweight cardboard that has a hole in the middle of it for the spindle and is cut to the size of a normal 10 or 12 inch record. So you put the record on top of the cardboard and you put all of that onto the turntable. The thickness of the cardboard should elevate the record so just above the spindle, allowing for the user to kind of center the record manually. So my takeaway from all of this early on in the 78 RPM records that had large holes in the freebie marketing scheme that sold a phonograph cheaply but requires the purchase of a compatible disc at full price. I don't know, it sure sounds a lot like the marketing for my inkjet printer. I got it for free. Sounds like the Chicago scheme to me. Thank you for listening. This is Sean, and you've been listening to Dead Wax 78s. I'm sticking with the regular center spindle hole. I'm not dealing with all of these big ones. But you know what? I still will catch you on the flip side.